KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy and 29 degrees in Atlantic. Again, we look for cloudy skies today with a chance of light snow mixed at times with light rain, freezing rain, or even sleet. Mainly this morning, we'll have a high around 35. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. And in state news this morning, the claim on an estimated $14 million hot lotto jackpot has been withdrawn, but it may not be the final chapter in the bizarre story as state law enforcement agencies continue to investigate. Iowa Lottery CEO Terry Rich spoke with reporters Thursday evening.
From the beginning, we knew this was a unique case, and we set up, as we do with every lottery claim, certain security protocols that we do to be able to award the prizes. And from the beginning, we had not received the information that we had requested.
The New York attorney who signed his name on the winning ticket has said he was acting as a legal representative of an anonymous trust. Attorney Crawford Shaw told the Reuters news agency that he will not argue anymore with lottery officials who established a deadline of 3 p.m. today for revealing who had purchased the ticket. State law requires the names and addresses of lottery winners to be made public.
It's been one of the strangest lottery claims that we've had in the 26-year history of the Iowa Lottery. And really, as we talk to lotteries across the United States, an unusual circumstance even with that. But I think this, for our chapter, it brings to a close a very interesting and unique situation.
The Iowa Attorney General's Office and the State Department of Criminal Investigation issued a written statement Thursday evening saying the two agencies will continue their investigation into the mystery of the winning ticket in order to ensure the integrity of the lottery and to determine whether those involved complied with state law. The winning ticket was purchased in December of 2010, but it wasn't submitted to lottery headquarters in Des Moines until late December of last year, just a couple of hours before the deadline. The lottery's CEO says the unclaimed jackpot will be put back into the pool for another prize.
We love giving money away, but I'm sure not disappointed that the proper procedures worked in this case, that by following the routine that we do each and every day to verify this, that it came to a conclusion that ultimately still gets the money back to winners and players who play lotteries across America.
Officials from the Attorney General's office and the DCI would not comment further on their investigation. The winning ticket was sent via FedEx to a Des Moines law firm, and representatives of that firm submitted the ticket to lottery officials in late December. The Des Moines law firm issued a written statement indicating the winner or winners of the jackpot would have allowed the money to be given away to charities, but would insist on remaining anonymous. News time is 8:03.
Better communication for a more romantic Valentine's Day. Now you might think, how does that work? But in order to have a healthy romance, you need good communication. And if one partner is experiencing hearing loss that interferes with effective communication, that couple's love life may be sidetracked. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. When family members constantly have to repeat themselves, sometimes to the extreme of raising their voice, it can be interpreted as anger. Or when you're with that special someone and they're whispering sweet nothings and you can't hear them, they may think that you're unresponsive or not interested, when actually you simply can't hear them. But there is something that you can do. If impaired hearing is causing a breakdown in your communication with loved ones, a simple evaluation might just reveal the true villain in this love story. Be a hero. Call today for a hearing evaluation. Give your Valentine the gift of good communication, and you'll see the positive effects with your family and your friends. Call today, and together we'll determine the best decisions for your hearing loss. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Elsewhere in state news, the Iowa House has given final legislative approval to an emergency allotment of $1.3 million that will cover tuition costs for Iowa National Guard soldiers who have enrolled in college courses. Representative Chris Hall, a Democrat from Sioux City, has heard from a number of soldiers in his district who saw their individual benefits cut by $1,300 for this semester.
During the first week of the legislature, I know that I received emails from several of our guardsmen with the 185th Air Refueling Wing.
This Iowa Senate approved the bill last week, but Republicans delayed action in the Iowa House to ensure the Guard needed that much money to fulfill its tuition grant promises. Representative Roy Chambers, a Republican from Sheldon who is a member of the Iowa Air National Guard, said Republicans were just doing their due diligence in checking the numbers.
We are, of course, all in support of supporting our National Guard members, but we also must remember that we are responsible for spending our tax dollars wisely and efficiently.
Legislators set aside money for the program last year, but about 3,000 Iowa National Guard soldiers came back to the state after active duty in Afghanistan. The Guard announced in December that education assistance grants to its soldiers would be cut because there wasn't enough money set aside to cover the tuition grants for the 1,400 Iowa National Guard soldiers who are enrolled in college. Governor Branstad has indicated he'll sign the legislation. A study by the Iowa Bicycle Coalition has determined that the economic and health benefits of cycling amount to nearly $365 million of direct or indirect impact on the state. Mark Wyatt, Coalition Executive Director, says the direct impact involves a lot of things.
It's people spending money on bicycles and gear and equipment, and it's people taking trips and driving to new trails or having the opportunity to get hotel stays and things like that really add up in dollars very quickly.
He says the impact is bigger than they expected.
That's $1 million per day that's spent on bicycling, averaged out over the year.
The study estimates that bicycling saves the state $73.9 million in health care costs for those who cycle recreationally, and it shows another $13,266 in health care costs saved by those who commute to work. Wyatt says the impact of the state's bike trails could be even bigger.
I think there's a huge opportunity for tourism, and one of the things that this study didn't address was out-of-state tourism dollars coming into the state. So these numbers may be even more conservative if you consider that people will cross our borders to ride in the world capital of trails here in Iowa.
The survey was released on the heels of the annual Iowa Bicycle Summit, which is tomorrow in Des Moines.
For the past 8 years, we've done an education session, and this is the first year we've expanded it to a consumer-level expo where people can come and look at bike gear, talk to people that are running bike trails, events and all kinds of trends and what's great about bicycling. We've got 50 vendors lined up that are going to be there to talk about everything that's going on in bicycling.
The event runs from 8:30 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Saturday at Veterans Auditorium in Des Moines. You can find out more by logging on to www.iowabicyclecoalition.org. Hunters packed a legislative committee room yesterday afternoon to watch the House Natural Resources Committee vote on a proposal which would let hunters use lead shot during dove hunting season. The Iowa Natural Resources Commission voted last summer to ban lead shot during dove season, but Representative Guy Vanderlinden of Pella called that an overreach.
In the House last year, we specifically voted on a lead shot ban and voted it down. The Natural Resources Commission took it upon themselves to reverse that, and that, to me, is the issue here. Not the lead shot, but that a commission is trying to usurp the authority of the legislature.
The committee voted 17-4 to overturn the commission's decision to require non-toxic steel shot during dove hunting season. Representative Sharon Steckman of Mason City argued the science is there to indicate lead is a danger to humans and animals.
They've taken it out of paint. They've taken it out of everything.
Representative Curtis Hansen of Fairfield was another no vote on the issue.
I'm concerned about the overall impact, the overall consequences, the cumulative effect of lead in our environment. Until that science is clear, I think that we should err on the side of safety.
Iowa Firearms Coalition President Jeff Burkett says that non-toxic steel shot may not be appropriate for some guns.
There's some concern about, especially the older the gun is, about the safety of using steel shot, doing damage to the gun. And so there is a legitimate public safety concern that we have.
Steel shot could cause an older gun to malfunction, according to Burkett, injuring the hunter who's firing it and others who might be nearby. The issue will next go before the full House for debate. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, the U.S. economy grew at a modest 2.8% annual rate in the fourth quarter of last year. The Commerce Department says Americans spent more on cars and trucks, and companies built up stockpiles. But growth was held back by the biggest annual government spending cuts in four decades. For the full year, the economy grew just 1.7%, or about half as much as it did in 2010. Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich are courting Hispanic voters in Florida today. Last night, the two clashed over immigration at the final debate before Florida's presidential primary. Gingrich called Romney the most anti-immigrant of the four candidates on stage. The former Massachusetts governor responded, "That's simply inexcusable." Both men are scheduled to speak to the Hispanic Leadership Network in Miami today. And Rick Santorum says he's not giving up on Florida, but he is leaving for now. Republican presidential candidate says he's taking a pause from campaigning just days before the state's presidential primary and heading home to Pennsylvania to work on his taxes. The cash-strapped Santorum is acknowledging that he simply can't keep up with the GOP frontrunners in Florida. News time is 8:10.
Better communication for a more romantic Valentine's Day. Now you might think, how does that work? But in order to have a healthy romance, you need good communication. And if one partner is experiencing hearing loss that interferes with effective communication, that couple's love life may be sidetracked. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. When family members constantly have to repeat themselves, sometimes to the extreme of raising their voice, it can be interpreted as anger. Or when you're with that special someone and they're whispering sweet nothings and you can't hear them, they may think that you're unresponsive or not interested, when actually you simply can't hear them. But there is something that you can do. If impaired hearing is causing a breakdown in your communication with loved ones, a simple evaluation might just reveal the true villain in this love story. Be a hero. Call today for a hearing evaluation. Give your Valentine the gift of good communication, and you'll see the positive effects with your family and your friends. Call today, and together we'll determine the best decisions for your hearing loss. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Dennis Crawley, age 59, of Guthrie Center, died Monday. Memorial services for Dennis Crawley will be today at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Mary Ann Peterson, age 81, of Audubon, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Mary Ann Peterson will be today at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Jean Templeton Kerr, age 90, of Atlantic and formerly of Elliott, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Jean Templeton Kerr will be today at 2 o'clock at the Nelson Boylan Lorette Funeral Chapel in Red Oak. Gerald Jerry Gaines, Sr. of Atlantic, died Wednesday. Funeral services for 76-year-old Jerry Gaines will be held Saturday at 10 a.m. at the St. Paul Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. August Francis Conrad, Jr., age 93, who's formerly of Audubon, died Monday in Iowa Falls. Funeral services for August Francis Conrad, Jr. will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Angela R. Newman, age 93, of Griswold, died Tuesday. A memorial service for Angela Newman will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Noble Center United Methodist Church south of Lyman. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Anthony Tony W. Wingert, age 81, of Avoca, died Wednesday at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center. A massive Christian burial service for Anthony Tony Wingert will be on Monday at 10:30 at the St. Mary's Catholic Church in Avoca, with the Cutler, O'Neill, Meyer, and Woodring Funeral Home of Council Bluffs in charge of arrangements. And Esther Lister, age 87, of Dexter, died Thursday in Adel. Funeral services for Esther Lister will be on Monday at 1 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.